prepares our hearts. Let's go to Him in prayer. And Father, we are thankful today that as we assemble together, as Your Word commands us to, we expect great and mighty things that the Holy Spirit will do. Lord, we thank You, whether in-house or online, when people hear the Word of Life, we thank You that it was sent to do the very thing that You said in Your Word, and it will accomplish it. It will not return void unto You, but it will bring healing and deliverance in all that it was intended to do. Thank You for giving every person under the sound of my voice eyes to see and ears to hear. And we're forever grateful for what You have done for us and what You revealed to us today by the Spirit of God, so that by being doers of the Word and not hearers only, we will be blessed in our deeds. And we give You the praise and the glory for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Shake a hand, give a high five, or say good morning to someone around you before you seat it today. Praise God. Well, we do call you blessed today. Amen. If you have your Bible, how many brought your sword with you today? Praise God. Well, I always encourage you, we encourage you to bring your word. Amen. Whether you use, like I do, carry. I like books, okay? And I love the Bible, praise God. But you know what? If as long as you got it before you, if it's an electronic device or however, we encourage you to use it today, because it's something about not just hearing the Word, but seeing it. And then let's take it to a step further. Let's learn where it's at. And you know, one of the things that I see people do that they shouldn't do. But I get it, because we've all been there. When we're new in Christ and we're just learning where scriptures are, no one wants to, you know, when I say where a scripture verse is and people turn there, we don't want to look like we don't know where everything is. Well, the truth is, none of us knew where any of it was until after we got into the Word ourselves. So never let that be a hindrance. Just know this. This is one reason why taking notes. Sometimes you may not find where it is by the time I get to it and finish with it. But if you've taken notes, you can go back, you can learn. But it is important. This is why it's important that we learn the Bible ourselves. Amen. So this morning, turn to Psalms. That's easy to find, right in the middle of the Bible. Praise God. Psalms, we want to look at chapter 107 today, if you turn with me. I call you blessed today. God calls you blessed. What are you calling yourself? Blessed. Amen. Praise God. So we're grateful. I know it's a little surprise that you got me this morning. Want to remind everyone about our evening service tonight. We will pick up again on our prayer series, and I've got an interesting topic that we'll cover tonight in prayer. You won't want to miss it. But right now, we're in Healing Center, and we're grateful, whether you're in-house or online, to be joining with us. In Psalms 107, read with me there in verse 2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, who has the Lord redeemed? The redeemed of the Lord. And so notice here, what we're going to do today is we're going to take this verse and we're going to look at particular, like, five different words, two of which are the same in this verse, and break them down and understand what God is trying to get to us today. But today's message for you note takers, we're going to call it "Say So." Everybody say, "Say so." How many know that God wants us to say something? Amen. Not complain and remain, but say what His Word says. We're going to find this out today, we're going to break down this verse. And we want to begin by this word "redeem," which you've heard me teach on many times. And so notice here in this verse, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Twice here, the same Hebrew word "redeemed" is used. And we want to define it, because first it describes who is redeemed, and then secondly, it describes what we are, or the redeemed are, delivered from. So we know who is redeemed and what we've been redeemed from. It's one thing to know that we've been redeemed. It's great to know that we've been redeemed. But if you don't know what you've been redeemed from, how many know that lacks half of what God wants us to understand? Yeah. So first of all, we want to define the word redeem. Amen. And both times it is used in the scripture, it is the same Hebrew word. It means to redeem, to ransom, to release, or deliver. The main idea of this word is actually one of buying back something or someone. It is a picture of someone being as a slave and someone walking up and saying, I want that one. And he paid the price to actually purchase and redeem, or to purchase that one out of slavery to their own. We know this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth. We were enslaved to Satan and to sin, amen, through the fall of man. And Jesus actually coming to redeem us. And so this repurchasing of someone from slavery, from the slavery of sin and all of its consequences. So it contains the idea of our previous owner being Satan. And the reason why he owned us, we know, because of sin. And all the consequences of sin that come with that, you know, with it came sickness, disease, it came poverty, lack, want, fear, failure, weakness, all those things that came with the fall of man, because now the one who owned us, Satan, could lord that over us. And the picture is that God, in the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, came in the great plan of redemption and paid the price on the cross through his death, burial, resurrection, redeeming us. So this is what one is redeemed from. But now let's identify who is the redeemed. Praise God. The who that is redeemed that is talking about here, obviously, are the people of God. In other words, those that have simply yet powerfully accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you have, you know, we can never underestimate the power of what it means to be sons and daughters of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, being born again, being saved. If we just look at that as that we're going to go to heaven, we're missing everything God intended for us to enjoy here on this earth. And it begins with our freedom from Satan and all of his bondages. And so in talking about this today, it's important for us to know that this, not only what we've been redeemed from, but who is really the redeemed. And we have to be mindful of this. You know, we can get so used to of what the Bible teaches, or what even we could call religion teaches, that we could just, I mean, it's, we kind of like know it intellectually, just like we know our names. But instead of personally applying it to our life, we have to personally apply it to our life. And let me encourage us right now. Let's not just apply it to our life when we have to. In other words, when the tough times hit. Because when the tough times hit, if we haven't prepared, if we don't know this, then we're kind of behind the eight ball, so to speak. We need to know it now and be using it every day. Praise God. And then when bad times come and when things hit us, which will, because this verse actually describes that. I'm going to tell you that in just one moment as we further break it down. Then we're better prepared. If we wait until something bad is happening to us to actually to exercise that faith, then we are behind, so to speak. And so this is why it's so important to know that we are the redeemed. And really, what are we redeemed from? And then in every day, get this in our heart and lives and being appropriating it in our lives. And once again, not just waiting when something happens or comes against us to use it, but actually wake up every day and say, no, this is who I am. Let these truths be a reality. That and this is why this says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, one of the ways that it's going to become real to us is by the words we speak. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. How are the things of God going to become real to us? Is it just going to come through osmosis? We hope so. We wish so. Well, the Bible tells us one of those ways it's going to happen is through saying so. We could say it like this. That's very clear. But, you know, meditation, part of meditation, the word meditation means to mutter or to speak to oneself. This is why biblical meditation is so important, that we actually day in and day out and throughout the day, we are thinking about. Meditation is more than just thinking. It is also speaking unto ourselves, muttering, speaking, declaring the word of God over ourselves. That builds our faith. That protects our faith. That releases our faith. And this is why it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so we know that the who are God's people. Now, we are the redeemed. Hallelujah. But once again, remember, that don't let the word redeemed just go in one ear and out of the other ear. Realize that Jesus Christ paid an infinite cost. He shed His own blood to repurchase us. And He made no mistake by picking you. And He wants us to know that He picked us and He chose us. And by you choosing Him or accepting His lordship over your life, you and I have been delivered from the hand of the enemy, as He said here. And we need to be mindful of that. And so we are the redeemed. And so we need to be thinking about that. We need to see beyond a surface level. And just because we have revelation of it, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years now. And so what I mean by that is, I never take for granted on any morning that I know when I look at those 21 scriptures that I look at every morning to meditate on, I never assume. And matter of fact, I really are reminded every day. This is why, even though I could quote them and I could tell you with them all, with my eyes closed, I could tell you with all of them all and could talk about them. But I always turn to them and look at them because I never assume that I know everything about them. And so the revelation of God's Word, because God's Word is alive and it's living, it can be more real to us. God can reveal more to us. And, you know, I think it's going to be pretty amazing when we get to heaven and God begins to, we sit at His feet, He begins to tell us something about the Word. And He said, yep, you thought you knew that, didn't you? Praise God. Now, He wouldn't rub it in like that, but I can just tell you, we're going to say, wow, I never saw that before. Wow, whoa, glory to God. Praise God. So let's rejoice on what we do know, but don't let what we do know stop us from receiving more of what we need to know about that very same thing, because the Word of God is living and active. So we are the who that is talking about here. We are the redeemed. Amen. And so it's really important that we understand that when it says that He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Okay, so let's look at this word hand one moment, because it really doesn't mean this hand that you have right here. Okay, what that means is it means the power, the strength, the authority, and dominion, and actually it means the word care of. So in other words, Satan had care of us, he had dominion over us, he had authority over us, he had power and strength over us. He did. This is what the word the hand of the enemy means. And of course, we see here the enemy, of course, is Satan in the devil. But it's interesting that this word is also translated not only as foe and adversary, which Satan is to us, but it also means this: any tribulation, trouble, or a tight place that we may be in. So in other words, not only did what Jesus do for us, or God did for us in Christ, deliver us or redeem us out of from what Satan did. But in our life as we walk and Satan comes to us and we face trials and tribulations and troubles and tight places in our Christian walk, God says, hey, I've already got it taken care of. When I redeemed you at the cross, I'm reminding you today that whatever's coming against you, you need to start talking about, you need to start saying so and not letting that tight place hold you there, because you've been redeemed from that too. Yeah. Praise God. That place of trouble or tribulation. And so let's look at this, how we can see that the New Testament makes it so clear. One of the great verses of this is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, where it says, who hath delivered us, this is talking about God the Father through what Jesus Christ has done, who have delivered us from the power, here we go, that's the hand of the devil, of the hand of darkness, of the power of darkness, or as other translation says, authority or the dominion of darkness. It all means the same thing. The hand of the devil is what it's talking about. His power, his strength, it means all those things, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we got taken. So actually, this word translate actually means you could translate it as transplanted. So if you had in other words, what this means is, if we were in the kingdom of Satan and Satan had us, when Jesus repurchased us or redeemed us, we got delivered, we got translated, we actually got transplanted. Think about like a heart transplant. You got taken out of that and you got put into. So you got taken out of Adam and you got taken out of Satan. You can understand that. And you got totally made new and put into Christ. That's what we have. And he have delivered us from the authority, power, dominion of darkness of Satan himself, his hand, and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In other words, we've been repurchased, we've been reborn, we've been delivered. Come on, we're God's children now. Notice verse 14, and whom we have our redemption through, there it is, that how did it happen? Through the redemption, through his blood. In other words, his blood paid the price for this very thing. And listen, for us to whine and complain and say, God, where are you, is saying, it's like forgetting what his blood actually did. Now, I can just tell you, we can have feelings and we can have all those things, and that's where we get in a problem. We're going to talk about that in just one, because we all got feelings. And but we're going to talk about that, but those feelings and those things try to trap us and make us forget about the truth that we've been repurchased. And the moment those things start showing up and speaking to us, we're going to have to speak to those things. We're going to have to say so what God has done, and he's delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and in whom we have our redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins. And so it's amazing that we are redeemed. And I find it, write this verse down. This is really powerful. In John 14, we're not going to put that up, but write this down. In John 14, 30, I'm reminded that we could say, that when Jesus said, the prince of this world has come and has nothing in common and no power over me. And so we could say, Satan has no claims over us, nothing in us, and no power over us. That's what we should say. We can say the same identical thing that Jesus said, because now we're in him. Now we're in Christ. And this is why the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, whatever Christ could say against the enemy, you and I must say against the enemy. We have a legal right to that. Now, once again, I told you what the word enemy, of course, we know that's Satan and that's the devil. But really, it's any foe or adversary. Once again, if you look up the Hebrew word, it does include any tribulation, trouble, or tight place that we find ourselves in. Those places are an enemy. Even though, you know, when we in other words, there's something behind that. When we are oppressed, when we have things that are trying to trap us or entrap us again or make us live like slaves to something other than the freedom that Jesus Christ purchased us. Let me tell you something. There's a spiritual force behind that. The good news is Jesus said that He redeemed us from that. Yes. Amen. And now notice that what the redeemed are, once we understand this, what are the redeemed to do? We're to say so. We're to declare what redemption has done for us. We're to declare what redemption has given us, and we're to declare what redemption is enabled you to do. You know, the reason you can do what you never done before once you're a Christian is because you are who you never been before. Come on, that's why. None of this is because of that we're hot stuff. It's because who we are in Him. It's because we are new in Him, and it's because of what He's done that we can actually do these things. And so when things come against us, the hand of the enemy comes against us, and we just have to say, no, devil, because I'm not under your authority anymore. I'm not under your jurisdiction anymore. Matter of fact, I have authority over you. Now, what the devil's trying to do is trying to trick us and make us act like who we used to be. Make us forget that we have authority, or ever keep us from finding out that we do. Because regardless of whether you do or not, unless you use it, it will do you no good. It is no good. Listen, it will be no more authority does us no more good, even though it belongs to us, unless we exercise it, than the sheriff or the deputy who has authority. It does you no more good than it would them who, even though they have authority, would forget it or just never use it to exercise against someone who committed a crime. Now, you're going to have to see that God has authorized and deputized us, and every time that something is coming against us contrary to the Word of God, that is a crime against you and I. And we're the ones that have to use our authority against it, or it won't get exercised or done. In other words, that criminal or that thing that's coming against us won't stop because we have authority. It will stop because we exercise authority. It won't stop because God has given it to us and He has authority over it. He's given us, He's deputized us, and we have to exercise authority. How do we do it? Well, we have to say so. We have to open our mouths and say, no, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from that. I don't accept that. I have freedom from that, and you have nothing in me and no power over me. This is the things that we have to say so. So let's talk about the last word in this verse that I promised you that we're going to talk about, and it's the word say. It means exactly what it says, but let me break it down for one moment, because just by saying it means to say, and we need to say something, and obviously in this case what God has said, we all know that, but sometimes by just breaking it down, it paints a bigger picture. How many know words paint pictures? And it's designed to do that. It's to expand how we see something. That's called revelation. And so this word here in the Hebrew means to say. It means to speak. It means to utter. It means to tell. It means to declare. It means to name something. You know, so much for the people that say, oh, you just that name it and claim it bunch. Well, Jesus said you're supposed to name it. If you can't name it, if you won't claim it, it won't be done. And I'm not talking about naming and claiming something the Bible doesn't say. I'm talking about naming and claiming every promise of God. Can I get amen? It means to name, it means to answer, and it means to command. So sometimes when we're saying something, we're doing more than just saying something. We're answering something that's talking to us, or we're commanding something that's speaking to us to get out of the way. We got to understand that. Now, so in the Old Testament, where we find this word at, it's the major word for saying. The basic idea is of uttering some type of spoken word. Okay, so We get that. But here's what's significant. There's eight uses of this word by God in Genesis 1 where God spoke the world into existence. We know them. It says, and God said and God saw. In other words, what God said created this world. We know that. So this same word that it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, is the same identical word that God said and spoke the world into existence. Used eight times in Genesis 1. So in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, let's read this together. This lets us know how, once again, it speaks to how God created the world. God said it and it was. So notice, but verse 3 here in Hebrews 11, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of the things that do appear. So in the simplest form, we know everything that's seen in this realm was created by another realm, an unseen spiritual realm. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Matter of fact, it is so real and so dominant that everything in this seen realm was created out of the unseen. And this is what the scripture is teaching us, but it teaches us something even more significant that we must see. Notice this word, we understand by faith. By faith in what? In other words, remember I've taught this many times, not just in maybe in Healing Center, but in our regular services. Whenever we see in Hebrews chapter 11 when it says through faith or by faith, it means by faith in a word from God. How do we get faith? By hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we understand that all these heroes of faith had a word from God. And so this is why it's been said one word from God will change your world. What we need is a word from God. How many know we got 66 books of them? Come on. Of God's word. Now, what we need to understand is through a faith in the word of God. In other words, when God spoke to these people that were just like you and I, that word that he spoke produced faith in their heart. When they acted on that, when they talked about that, acted on that, and did something with it, it changed the world they lived in. Yep. How many know it did in and through them or for them exactly what God said it would create? But God always uses us. He, in other words, God doesn't, to do these things that he wanted to do, he doesn't work independently of man. He has to work with man. He has to work with man. God does not work independently. In other words, to get what God wants in this earth, he has to work through man. Because originally, man in a physical body is the one who had dominion on this earth. This is why either Satan is using people or God is using people, because the authority that's in this earth is going to come. It's going to come through humankind, people. Amen. And whether it's fallen man who has actually, we know that was delivered. What we have to understand is Satan does not have some type of super angelic power that's greater than you and I. He has the authority that was lost that Adam gave to him. Yeah. He has. Of the original authority that Adam and Eve had in the garden. He didn't have some supernatural, demonic, angelic power. He lost that when he sinned against God. And when he went, but he got what man had to rule this world. And this is why how he became the ruler of this world. But through Jesus Christ, we get back the authority that was lost in the fall. And God said that because we're redeemed and we say so and we use the authority that he won back for us, that has power and authority over all the power of the enemy. And the only people that Satan can really have dominion over is the fallen world or whoever as believers will consent to it. And this is why we must say no. We must say no. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. So what I'm trying to get at here, It's taken me a long time to get there. But where it says through faith, we understand that the worlds, the word worlds there, even though when we hear that word, we understand what that means. It means everything that God created, but in the cosmos, we know that's true. But that's not the word there that's used in the Greek. You know what the word it used in the Greek means? It means successive periods of time. It means times and successive periods of times, like decades and centuries. It means successive generations, such as decades and centuries. In other words, and it says they were framed. That means to arrange or establish by the word of God. So in other words, what's happened good in this earth has happened because God gave a man a word and they acted on that word, and the word that God spoke began to arrange and frame the world for the good that they lived in. And God used what he said and now what they said about what he said to change their world. And so God wants us to understand that just as he established and arranged the world by his spoken word through those believers, God will do the same thing with us. We establish and arrange our world by the words we speak. And the words that we speak, especially when we speak God's word, amen, then when our words become, or God's words become our words, they become a creative force. They create what God wants it to create. Now, whether we realize it or not, our words have a creative power anyway. This is exactly what Proverbs 18:21 says. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's so many people in life that even love God, but they always are bad mouthing themselves, and the devil loves it because it's holding them in bondage. By their own words, they are their own words. God wants our words to be a creative force for good. Matter of fact, he wants our words to say what he said. Because when we say what he said and release our faith in that, then we get what he says. So, well, a lot of times people say, well, I'll never get ahead. Nothing good ever happens to me. You know, the flu is going around, I'm going to get it. You know, that one thing after another. And they can even be believers. And their small talk is their big talk. It's the only talk they have. And it's negative. Nothing good. I don't know why I never get the tips. I don't know why I don't get the raise. I don't know why this. You know, all this. Well, I can tell you why. Your tongue. You're believing the wrong thing. And it's one thing to believe the wrong thing, but then when you start releasing your words with it, your tongue speaking it, then instead of saying that you are the redeemed, you're actually calling yourself bound again. Yep. And you say, well, can God do something about that? Only if you change what you're saying. If you repent of what you're doing and saying and get that straight and begin to say what God's word says. So death and life on the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So this means that we either are speaking death to our lives or we speak in life to our life. You choose. Which one is it going to be? Hopefully, we see, this is why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say that you're redeemed. Say you've been delivered. Say that you're God's child. Say that you're free. Say that you're healed. Say that you're victorious. And you must say it before you feel it or even see it. Because seeing and feeling, God didn't say was the prerequisite for faith. Matter of fact, he said that was not the prerequisite of faith. Because you don't need faith for anything that you can see or feel. He said you have to say it before you see it and feel it. In order for it to be seen or felt, you're going to have to say it. Because it's not going to come upon us. And I know that a lot of people will criticize and say, well, you know, this is only what God can do. No, God is telling us what we have to do. All right, Jesus said it like this. In Matthew 12, turn there with me, and we're going to read in verse 36 and 37 from the King James Version first. And then it says, but I say unto you. So Jesus is saying these words, every idle word that men shall speak. In other words, that means careless, non-productive, even negative words that they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. So idle, careless, negative words, every word, whatever, if we die and stand before Him, we ain't repented of them things, we're going to give account to those words. You know why? Because those words you're going to be finding out about one moment are going to be the ones that judge us. Now notice here in verse 37, it says, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. This is why it's so dangerous when people say, well, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe on this. And God says, well, you're going to have exactly what you said. That's going to judge you. Your own word. See, God doesn't send somebody to hell. You send yourself there. And I'm not saying that arrogantly, mean. I'm saying that with this every bit of compassion I can get. But your own words you judge yourself by. Because when you reject the only means of salvation, Jesus Christ, you've already, when you choose to believe something other than that, then the words you have said and the words that you said, I don't believe, I will not believe, I do not, you know, when you said your own words, God don't send you to hell. You do. Your own words will condemn you. Well, God, why didn't you heal me? Well, He'll play the script back and see all the times and what you did say. And it has to be more than the positive confession that we're going to say at the end of the thing today. What do we say 5 minutes from now when we get in the car? Or an hour from now when the pain hits us? Or life goes, all those things we gotta take in consideration. And understand that we have to say what God's Word says. That, don't get me wrong, we all go through battles, struggles, temptation. And if you miss it, just ask God to forgive you and get back on the bus and ride your way to victory. Come on. Start saying, if you miss it with your mouth, repent of it. We've all had to repent before. This has got more... That right there has got more people in trouble than anything else. Praise the Lord. Amen. But notice, by your words you shall justified. That means declared righteous, declared innocent. You're acquitted from every accusation that Satan will say, because he's saying to you, you know, it don't belong to you. You're not good enough. Isn't it good news to know that none of us have to be good enough to receive any of this? We just have to be God's children and say so, that what God has done is enough. And I'm believing and saying it, and I make it my own. Praise God. It's what He did, and it's that faith in that gets it for us. He said, for by your words you'll be justified, but by your words you'll be condemned. Now, this, I love this, because the message Bible says it like this. In verse 37, it says, Jesus said, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words shall be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. So whether you say you don't believe or do believe, your words will be what judges you. So your words will also be, you can say it like this, what binds you or frees you. Your words are what's creating your world and framing your future. And this is exactly what James chapter 3 warned us about, either for the good or for the bad. And actually here, it's actually warning us in a negative way. In other words, what a runaway tongue will do. Or a tongue that's not tamed. And the only way you and I are going to tame, you know what, is let's read in James. James 3, 2, it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle his whole body. Amen. So in other words, our life is going to go in the direction of our dominant words. That's just the way that it is. He warned us about this. Our lives are going to go in the direction of our dominant words. That tongue steers us, goes on in verse 3, and it says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse 4, it says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, and yet they are turned about by a very small helm or rudder wherever the captain stirs it. And so we see, go on in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. And so the tongue is among our members, among our body, among our life. This that defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Goes on and says, no man can tame. You know what? No man can tame the tongue. It takes the Holy Spirit in us to give us strength to be able to put this under where it goes. This is why you're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to not only pray in the Spirit, but be the Holy Spirit so conscious on the inside of us that when we say something wrong, and we can, the Holy Spirit and our conscience is just letting us know, that's the wrong thing. That's not the right way. You can be in conversations with people, and they're talking bad and all this junk, and then all of a sudden, you ain't said nothing, but the Holy Spirit says, wrong words. Don't join into that conversation. Come on, walk away or say what God's Word says and just go. But we have to understand it's going to take the Holy Spirit to help us in these things. So what are we to be saying? God's Word. And this is what the redeemed are to be saying. We're not to be saying what the world says. I said that for 24 years of my life. I said everything the world said. In other words, before I got saved, that's the only thing I did know. I didn't know one scripture in the Bible. I didn't know any. And so you say what the world says. You say things like this, what your feelings are telling you, what's happening around you, and what's happening to you. And unfortunately, many Christians, until we're taught this, we're doing the same thing. We're speaking more of what the world is around us. We're always talking about our feelings and what's happening to us and around us. Let me say this way. If what I see and feel is determining what I believe, then I'm not walking by faith. Want me to say that again? If what I see and feel determines what I believe, then I'm not walking by faith. Walking by faith is believing what the Word says. It is living by what the Word says, and our believing actually is revealed this way first and foremost, but what we're saying. That's how we know. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. And so it reveals. It reveals. Our believing is revealed by our saying. Let's read and turn there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. This is a powerful portion of Scripture. Paul said, talking to the church, the same spirit of faith. So we know the spirit of faith. Faith changes things. This spirit of faith, notice what it does. It says, according, we having the same spirit of faith. Note it didn't say we're praying for it, we're hoping for it. In a believer's life, he wants us to understand we do have faith. What are we doing with it? Are we allowing the devil to talk us out of that we are believers, that we're believing ones, that we really do have faith? Or is it because we don't understand what it is, or we just so bombarded by usually what the enemy is saying or our feelings, then we usually don't understand that we have faith? And the devil will be quick to accommodate you to say, no, your problem is you just don't have enough faith. I submit to most people in this room, it's not that we don't have faith or have enough of it, it's we're just not using what we have. And the first way you use it is by speaking it and using your authority. So notice, we have in the same spirit of faith according to as it is written. It tells us what the spirit of faith does. It says, you have to know what is written. And then it says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So notice the progression. We believe something and we speak something. But the reason we can believe something is because we know what is written first. Whatever is written is what we're to believe. And when we believe it and speak it, it is called the spirit of faith and has power to change things. Woo! Glory to God. It has power, the creative force, to change sickness. It has the creative force to change depression, oppression, or whatever's trying to bind us. It has power to do it. Because we have to find what is written. We have to know what God has said about us or is written about us. Amen. And then it's up to us whether we believe it or not. God can't make us believe. He just said believe it. And most of us wait until we feel something to believe it. But no, just believe it. Just accept it. And then he says, here's how you know you're starting to believe it, is when you start talking that way. When you let, the first thing that's going to move in your faith walk is your mouth. Is your mouth what you say. The Passion Translation says it like this. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that it described in the scripture when it says, now here's what it describes. First, I believed. Well, how are you going to believe? By knowing what God has said. Isn't that right? By knowing what is written. First, I believed, and then I spoke in faith. So, we also must first believe and then speak in faith. Now, a lot of times when people, notice the progression here. You find out what is written. You let that persuade your heart and believe it, and then you speak. Now, what can happen is that when people get saved, and they come and they hear messages like this on confession, saying so. And it's as important as confession is, and vital and instrumental in our Christian life and success. If all you hear is you got to speak it, then you're missing part of it. Because you have to first know what to believe, and it's believing with your heart and saying with your mouth that it has power to create your world and to bring to pass what God says. Remember, faith is always in two places. It's in your heart to believe, and it's in your mouth. The reason your mouth is so important is because it's supposed to represent what you believe with your heart. But when your heart and mouth agree, that's where the power is. This is why we must know what is written. This is why we must know what is said. Can I get amen? Amen. And then let that persuade our heart. Yeah. You know, we can believe the moment we hear it. Yeah. We choose. Faith ain't hard. It's knowing what God's word said and just choosing it. But the truth is, we don't always choose right. But here's what we let get in our way. Our mind. And we let our mind get in the way, let's be honest. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't believe with your mind, you believe with your heart. But it has to come through your mind. It has to come through your mind. Your mind don't have to be your enemy. Just realize that your mind has to be the filter. In other words, your mind is going to be the deciding factor whether you're going to accept something with your heart or you're going to not accept it because of how you feel. Or by what your body's telling you. Or by what you're seeing in your circumstance around you. And so this is important for us to understand. Is it valuable it is for us to say so and to say what God's word says. It must be believed in our heart in order for it to have the power to create our world. Amen. And it can be done negatively. You know, the reason why people say, a lot of times people say things that it's just a cliche. They say, let me give you an example. My grandma, bless her darling heart. Amen. Brother Hagin said, bless the darling heart and stupid heads. Well, you're about to hear how stupid heads can get in the way. You know, she would always say, people would ask her. And, you know, she said this for years. I just remember as a little kid. Now, I believe she's in heaven today. And she told me how she got saved. And so I believe that since I'm redeemed, she won't kick me when I get to heaven for all the mean stuff I did before I was saved to her. Amen. But that's not where I'm going. She would always say stuff like this. She would say, you know, people ask her, how you doing? Her favorite saying was, I'm near about dead, thank you. That's what she would always say. I'm near about dead, thank you. Now, she said that because she wanted sympathy. She said that because she wanted attention. And she lived to be like 87, so she didn't really believe it. What she believed was that if she said stuff like that, that would get somebody's attention. Well, tell me what's going on. Well, I got this ailment and I got that ailment and I got this and got that other. You know what? And all what that does, though, what that does is set the path up to open the door for the devil to kill you earlier. But the point is, there's a lot of people, even believers, that are saying things, the wrong thing. And whether you believe it totally or not, you're still, if it's the wrong thing, open the door for the enemy to do things in our lives. So let's close the door on the enemy. Let's get the word in our heart and believe what the word says and begin to speak what the word says. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's talk about, we're going to put this slide up, four ingredients of faith. Four ingredients of faith. Number one, hearing. Got to hear it. You can't have faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Where your knowledge of God's word begins is where faith begins. Where it ends, your faith ends. So the first ingredient to faith, biblical faith, is hearing. You got to know what the word says. Then number two, the second ingredient is believing. The third, in other words, that means it produces confidence. It's not a mental agreement. It's a confidence, a heart of confidence that causes you to, three, speak or say what God's word says, not what you feel. Now, there may be times that you have to tell somebody what you feel because they ask you about something. But you know what? That's not what we're speaking and talking about all the time. We're speaking and talking the word because we believe the word. Amen. And then number four, the fourth ingredient is doing or acting on the word of God. These are the four ingredients of faith. We need all four. You know, have you ever, all you good cooks out there, I'm looking at a lot of y'all, and it can be men too, because some men are really good cooks. You know, and I see someone like this, you know. Some men are really good. Some men are saying, thank God for a good wife. Praise God. So Pastor Debbie and I kind of split it up. I like to cook the meats and she cooks everything else. So anyway, but regardless of what I'm saying is, some people are really good cooks. Those cooks that are the scratch cookers and, you know, their recipe and they got all this stuff and they'll taste it and they say, something's missing in this. You know what? Oh, I put too much of this. Oh, I didn't put enough of this. So you know what? Oh, why didn't this do? Oh, I forgot this ingredient. It wasn't exactly right because an ingredient's missing. Let me tell you something. This is a recipe for faith. You're going to have these four things. You have to hear the word to a place that it produces confidence in our heart. Amen. And some people get it the first time they hear it. Say, that's mine. I'll take it. That can be true for all of us, if we choose so. But what happens many times is we got to hear it and allow it persuade us, because we have to displace all the junk and the jargon and the unbelief. We got to be washed with the water of the word to get the unbelief and the doubt out that's been saturating our life for so long. And then once we get that out and we really believe our heart and begin to speak and say it. You say, what if, Pastor Chris, I've got all that doubt and unbelief? What should I do? Keep speaking the word until you wash it out. Don't stop speaking the word. Meditate. Let it persuade your heart, but speak it. You know when it's you're speaking it because it's washed out and you really believe it with your heart. But even if you're not totally believing it, if you're not sure whether you totally believe it with your heart, do not say it. Say what God's word says. You're schooling yourself in faith because you're hearing what God's word says and you're giving your opportunity to believe it. Praise the Lord. But hearing, believing, speaking, and doing. Now let's finish today with Mark 11:23. We'll do this pretty quick. And in Mark 11:23, but first of all, it begins with verse 22. I didn't tell them to put this up, but notice it said, Jesus said, praise the Lord. Let me turn there to Mark 11:22. He says, have faith in God. That's what he said. Have faith in God. And then he tells us exactly what faith looks like. So verily I say unto you, so Jesus said, listen, truly I'm telling you something right now, that whoever, are you a whoever? Sure you are. You are whosoever. Whosoever shall say, everybody say. Now look at this hand. you say, whosoever, look at me, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, your problem, okay, be removed and be cast into the sea. It tells you to say something to your mountain. It says, get out, it don't belong here. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe over here one time. We've already said, say, shall believe those things of he saith, say two times, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith three times. So notice, Jesus emphasized above all else concerning faith is the saying part of faith. Now, this is very interesting. Brother Hagin taught this. He said he never saw this until the Lord told him one time when he was talking to the Lord about something. The Lord said, did you ever notice that in Mark 11:23, it says three times to say and one time to believe? He said, Lord, no, I never noticed that. I've read this thousands of times. I've quoted it all those times. And he said, I never saw that. He said, and this is what Jesus told him. He said, my people are primarily not missing it in the believing part. They're missing it in the speaking part. And he says, you're going to have to do three times as much teaching on the speaking part as you do on the believing part for people to get it. So this is why we should never get tired of hearing about the speaking, the saying so. So I know that. Tell me something new. Well, just for you to say that just means that you don't understand how important the saying part is. Now, you do have to believe one time, but say three times. So we believe with the heart, we believe and doubt not. And so, but we must the say part, because authority is released. Faith is exercised. Authority is released through our words, not through our speaking. And no speaking we lose by default. No speaking you surrender the victory that's yours. No speaking you don't move the mountain. And so this is why we must say so. But this is good. You have to say. So here's some things that you have to say. You have to say who you are. You have to say what you have. You have to say what you can do. Why not call yourself what the Bible calls you? You're supposed to. Here's a daring one. The Bible says praise the Lord. In Proverbs 11:30, I've just turned there real quick. In Proverbs 11:30, here's what it says. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, but he that wins souls is wise. Why not say, I'm wise? Because the Bible calls you in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Because of Jesus, he is your righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and your wisdom. And so it says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, put back 11:30 again. Praise God. I'm trying to say Proverbs 11:30 again, if you would. Praise God. But it says, but he that wins souls is wise. So why not call yourself a soul winner? Because if God says you have the wisdom of Christ, then call yourself. See, dare to say what God's word says you are. It's even at the point you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, say what God's word says, you'll get there. Call yourself what God says you are. Don't let what you feel and what you're seeing keep you from saying what God says that you are, what you have, and what you can do. Because all of this is part of faith creating your world. So let's stand to our feet today and say some things. Can we do that today? Let's make some say-so confessions. Say it with me. I am a child of God. I have been born again. I am a new creature in Christ. Now listen, don't say this, but what you're saying, say it out of your mouth, but mean it with your heart. Let it come out of your heart, not just something out of your head. Okay, so let's do this again. I am a new creature in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because I have been redeemed, Jesus has been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and my redemption. And I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm in the kingdom of God. And I have overcome the evil one. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I boldly confess, Jesus is my Lord. And I say, sin, sickness, Satan, poverty, lack, want, fear, failure, weakness, and all the works of the enemy have nothing in me and no power over me. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. And Jesus is greater in me than everything that's come against me. I have a living faith. And by my faith, I have overcome the world. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I say so. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. My words have power. And my words are forming my world. And every good and perfect gift that comes down from you, Father, belongs to me. I am redeemed. I am delivered. I am healed. I am yours. And I say so. And I give you the praise and the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Now let's just give him some praise one moment. If you believe that, just thank him and give him glory. Amen. His power is working in you today. His power is working in you today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Say what God's word says. His power is working in you today. Hallelujah. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. I declare it over the people of God. Father, we thank you today. We say so. We say we are the healed, the redeemed, and the delivered. We give you the praise and give you the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. I believe with my heart. I say with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I am saved. I am redeemed. I call myself healed. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me, saved me, forgiven me, and the stripes of Jesus has healed me. And I declare it so. I am the redeemed from all the hand of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Let's give God a shout of praise in here today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's ours, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And every contrary thought or feeling that comes against you that says something different, say something against that. Say, no, 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 no. That's not what I'm believing. This is what I'm believing, the Word of God. Hallelujah. And speak to your mountain, speak to your problem, declare the word. Amen. Well, God is good today. I want to encourage you. You're here today and you say, you know, I purposely came for hands to be laid on me, someone to agree with me.